Hey, Chevra. Always incredible schos to be together, to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh, especially during the month of Mar Cheshvan, middle of Mar Cheshvan. It's been a while since we have a Yontav. It's a while till we'll have Yontav again. We always have Shabbos. And we always have Erev Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos, and these nights together are always very, very special for me. Mirz Hashem, we'll lift each other up. All the Torah tonight, all the Chizuk tonight, all the Torah tonight, we have a few sponsors tonight. It happens to be that here in Cedars, for sure, we're not going to have Shir for the next couple weeks. Next week I'm on the Diyar Shabbaton, the week after that I'll be in Yisrael, hopefully forever from that point on, hopefully earlier than that.
Amen.
But so I don't want to push any, there are different people at different yard sites, I don't want to push any beat off, so we're going to have Bez Hashem, Baruch Hashem. You know, it's the Torah is so Kaddush, the Torah is so holy, so powerful. It could be a schusim for many, many people at the same time. All the Torah and the chizuk, all the Torah that's learned by all of us. So first of all, the Torah is tonight sponsored by Yael and Ben Englander. I feel so close to all their sons, such a beautiful mishpacha we love so dearly. Lil Nishmas, Yael's father, whose yahrzeit was last Shabbos, his previous Shabbos. The whole week, we've spoken so many times over the years. All the Kedushin Brach of the week is from the Shabbos before, and so we're so connected to that in a very deep way. Tuvia ben Yeshaya, a year ago, I remember when he was Nifter a year ago, how much chizik I got from hearing all about him from Yael, from her children, from Ben, from Mamish HaKadosh Degiyid, someone who loved Eretz Yisrael and made Aliyah eventually. He was a Yid who was always the first person in Shul. I remember he taught laning to many, many Yidden, all different types of Yidden. It was like he got it in all the areas you're supposed to get it. You know, he understood what's important, tefillah, learning Torah, shul, Yidden. Very special Yid. I remember still have with me the chizuk I got from hearing all about him. And Mirz Hashem, all the Torah, all the mitzvahs, all the chizuk, all the Cyrus should be a big schus. Lil Nishmaso, it should be Bez Hashem. Melech Yosher for his beautiful mishpacha until they're taunting with him. Gula Shleim and Perib Meno. So also tonight, being sponsored by Daniel's mishpacha, by the Marks. Lil Nishmas, Daniel's great-grandfather, whose yahrzeit was this past week. Aaron ben Shmuel HaKayin. Aaron HaKayin. It's Mirz Hashem. It should be a big schus to the chizuk, to the Torah, to the Cyrus. Lil Nishmaso, it should be Melech Yosher for your family. Bizoiche is Kayan should be serving the Beis Hamikdash soon. Back with Chesam Eisim, Gula Shleima, B'meir Yemeinu.
Amen.
It's also anonymously Lilnishmas Zilpa Basara, by a grandchild who I'm very, very close to. Lilnishmas' grandmother's yahrzeit this upcoming week. Mirz Hashem, Chaf Aleph Cheshvan. Mirz Hashem, all the Torah, the Chizuk should be a big schus for her neshama. She should be a Melitzi Yashra for their beautiful mishpacha. Bakarov will be dancing with Mashiach, Bez Hashem Zbarach. And finally, as well, we continue to have that all the Torah for Thursday night, all the Chizuk, all the Cyrus is going to be and has been for Eliezer Fall Ben Sarsima, for the Mishpacha, and for only Chizuk and Bez Hashem, be a big schosim for him, Bez Hashem is Barach. And finally, also anonymously for Refu Shalema, for continued Refu Shalema. We spoke all about him last week. Cal Nathan, Baruch Hashem's had Refuos, but just continued Refuos in Yeshua, so we should have Tfilos for Kalman Chaim, Ben Miriam Dvorah, Bez Hashem is Baruch. These parashas are so special. These parashas are Bereishis, such a schus to learn them, to delve into them, to be reminded of all the stories of the Avos and the Imos, and to elevate our lives through them. This parasha on a personal level is so deeply part of my life. It was my bar mitzvah sedra. So you know, your bar mitzvah sedra is always that parasha, you know, you connect to in a very special way. Therefore, it's a schus to be able to learn. And to learn about Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, we know the Zohar tells us, we talked about this a little bit last week, is Ish Chesed. The paradigm of chesed, that giving individual, that kind individual, we all have pictures of the tent open from all sides, taking care of people, giving to people. Chnasas Arachim. But very interesting to note that of all the chesed he did, The Torah records for the first time Chesed of Avram when he's 99 years old. Right? Think about that. There's Ramazim. There's hints earlier of Ayita Eshel. He made this tree that was Achilish the Alina. Those are Ramazim. But explicitly, we don't know of any Chesed until he's 99 years old. Like, really? He's Ish Chesed and we don't know about any Chesed until 99. Additionally, by the way, just to understand, the chesed that he did at the beginning of the parasha, where he's going outside into the third day of his bris mila, where he was full of pain, and we know, right? We spoke about this, the third day is so much pain, the third day. I spoke about this Monday, actually, from a different share, sorry. I didn't speak about this last week. But we spoke about the third day after the bris mila is the most pain. That's what we learned this by Shechem, when Shimon Levi went to defeat and fight against Shechem on the third day after the bris mila. And he's looking for guests, and he's giving, but and he gives them this whole entire incredible suda that we learn about. We've been laning on Monday and Thursday. He actually did nothing. Why? They were malachim. They didn't need the shelter. They're spiritual beings. Yes, there was a chamam in Artika, this incredible heat wave. They weren't hot. They're malachim. They're much hotter than the heat wave. They didn't need the food. They don't need to eat. It's interesting. Just a note. This is the very first act at the age of 99. And the act itself was ultimately meaningless. He was doing nothing. There was no real result. There has to be something very deep to teach us here. A very deep lesson, very powerful. But let's start by discussing that first point. Why did it wait until so long to teach us about Chesed of Avram? Seemingly he did Chesed before this. We have Madrashim about it, for sure. So why did the Torah wait till now to record any Chesed of Avram? It was past Shabbos Kodesh, I had the chutz to be in Cleveland by a very special bar mitzvah of my closest friend in the world, made a bar mitzvah for his son. And one of my other friends, who he's very close to, who I used to be very close to, did Nafshi, was there with me. His name is Avram Alter. And he lives in Riverdale. And he's a Talmud Muvok of Rav Meir Tversky Shlita. He was his chavrusa for many, many years. He literally lives, it's incredible. This Yid, this friend of mine, literally lives in Riverdale just to be there by Rav Tversky, to be by his side, to learn from him, to grow from him, to be by him. It's incredible. And I never had the schus to, maybe for a few days at one point, for a week or two, but I never really learned in shir by Rav Tversky. But I had somewhat of a little bit of a catch of Rav Tversky, and I was enamored by Rav Tversky for sure. You can't not be just watching him. But I spent the summer with him, which was very fun. My first summer married, so I spent on NCSY Kolol. I was like a gave a night shir and it's got Mashgiach and Rav Tversky. That was the first summer that Rav Tversky came, him and Rav Shechter, to Antes Vekol. Their first summer. It was the last summer Antes Vekol was in Efrat. And we spent the summer together. And it was very special to see him in that, like, just together with the high school teenager. He played ball, like we were playing ball together. I remember I have a picture of myself, Shandy, and Rav Tversky, the Rebbetzin, and a couple of their kids jeeping together. He was wearing a Chicago Bulls cap. I'm like, you know, you try to make a conversation like, oh, Rabbi likes Michael Jordan, you know, what do you say? But anyways, for Tversky, it's like he's just this malach of a human being, weighing every word that comes out of his mouth, is weighted, is thought out. And I remember a shiur he gave, it's amazing, you know, how many, if you think back, this is going back 22 years ago probably, that a shiur that he gave, that made such a roshim on me, made such an imprint, that I remember like yesterday, he gave this, gave this series called The Philosophy of Halacha in YU once a week. It was after Meir, like at 10:15, 10:20, for like 45 minutes. And he spoke, and I'll never forget these words, because Mamish, I try to live my life by them. And he said that ultimately anything that's meaningful in life, any philosophy that has substance to it, that's real, that's authentic, that you're going to share with others, that you're going to believe in, that you're going to give over to others, that you're going to speak about, has to be based on Torah. Because anything that's real in this world is based on Torah. And it was a big lesson. Like if you're gonna share an idea, you think of an idea that you think is logically correct, it could be if it's based on Torah. If it's not based on Torah, in a certain sense, it's meaningless. It's just a subjective idea. Shkoyach, those are a dime a dozen. Anyone could come up with whatever they want at any point. Sometimes people, you know, there are these people out there and they're always throwing out these like phrases that they come up with, and they make them into posters and they send them around, and it's like, you know, success is based on your hard work and effort. And I mean, shkoyach, that might be true also, and that's probably, and by the way, that has a lot of them do have basis in Torah as well. And then they are very real. But if you don't know that it's based in Torah, it's ultimately shkayach because you think that. So I can name you other people who think differently, you know? And lo aleinu, we have a world of people who think crazy things. What's real in this world? What's objective truth in this world? Torah. And the biggest yisod in life, to understand that, to know that if anything's real and true, it's got to be based on Torah on some level. Torah is stakel b'raisa b'ra'ama. The whole world is based on Torah. The big yisod. I remember speaking to a very close friend of mine who's a big psychologist, therapist from Jew, Baruch Hashem, a wonderful person. And he said as well, in the world of psychology, everything that's MS in psychology has a basis in Torah. Sometimes you can find it, sometimes you might not find it. But if it's not based on Torah, it's sheker. That doesn't mean it's not important to study psychology, because we might not always be able to glean it from the Torah, so we need others to bring out these points. But he said it's amazing that whenever he's teaching and then he finds something that, and he's trying to work therapy as one, and then he finds the source of the Torah, and you find, you know, it's all one. Because it has to be, if it's MS, it has to be based on Torah. So comes the Halo of Tzvas Emes. Tzvas Emes says, I thought I brought Tzvas Emes over here. You want to see on my desk if this the Tzvas Emes, it's like a little bit lighter than this cover. I had it out, I thought I brought it. Just on my desk in the back. Thank you, Kobe. And Halo of Tzvas Emes discusses, and through this Tzvas Emes we could understand why it was that a Kodesh Baruch Hu waited to tell us about any chesed of Avram all the way until he was 99 years old. When clearly, again, there were other chasadim. Clearly, there were other kind acts. If he's literally the sod of chesed, there have to be. So Asama says something incredible. I want to just read it inside. We'll see if Kobe comes. He found, yeah? Oh, look at that timing. Beautiful. Perfect. Shkoyach, thank you. Listen to the words of Asama. So Asama says, What was Hashem waiting for? He was waiting for Avram to have a bris milah. In other words, it was only after bris milah that he's going to record in the Torah chesed for us. Why? Ki yishtana Avram b'no l'shalom achar milah lebriya chadasha. After Avram had bris milah, he's a new creation, a new being. V'nischadish lo achakach derech emes, and it's a new derech emes. V'u derech ha-toyra. She'ein l'chocha m'sheich es klal l'zeh ha-derech. Meaning the world of Torah only begins after you have Bris Milah. Bris Milah is foundation for Torah. Until that, there is no, if there's no Bris Milah, there's no Torah. And that's why he couldn't even have a Yitzchok until after Bris Milah, because Yitzchok had to be born according to a world of Torah that's going to be Emes. You hear what Tzvas Emes is saying? It's basically, the Emes is the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Ko Amar Hashem, Im lo berisi yomam v'layla, chukos shemayim v'eretz lo samti. If you don't have a bris, okay, there you can learn it as a covenant, but brisi, my bris, a bris. Chukos shemayim v'eretz lo samti. I didn't yet place Torah. First of all, just to understand that on a logical level, you need a bris milah to have Torah. Bris milah represents kedushas habris, represents kedushas agashmias. It represents a person who understands that the materialistic world, the physical world, is a means and not an end. And to have that self-control, because I'm not going to connect to spirituality and the Rabboni Shalom above me and the world of Torah without first having that self-control. And therefore, bris was necessary for Torah. And therefore, if bris was necessary for Torah, the world of Torah doesn't begin in this world until after bris milah. And what is therefore the Tzvas Emes really teaching us? All the chesed that Avram did until now was his own desires, his own thought process, I want to do a good thing, which is nice, but it's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not chesed shel Torah, which we're going to define a little differently in a beautiful way tonight. And it's not a chesed that we need to learn from. It needs to be l'dori doros. That has to be recorded in the Torah. I mean, again, nothing wrong. It could be nice acts. But there's a difference between just a nice act and a chesed shel Torah. And we're going to define, I'm going to explain that in a few moments. And this is where it all begins. This is where we get chizik from. It has to be a Torah chesed, not just stam chesed. By the way, the first mission of Avos is all morals and ethics and chesed and a way of life, right? That's what Pirkei Avos is all about. What's the very first mission of Pirkei Avos teach us? What's the very, you guys know the beginning. What is Moshe kibel Torah Mesinai, Masvel Yeshua, Yeshua Zekanim, right? The beginning of Pirkei Avos starts giving the Mesorah of the Torah. It's Pirkei Avos, it's ethics, it's morals. What you need is, why is it telling me a history book of Torah, how the Torah was given? The Rav and others explain. Because true morals and ethics has to be based on Torah. And if it's not based on Torah, it's meaningless. And so too with Chesed. I'll give you an example just to understand what we're saying, because sometimes it's hard with chesed. You think, just be a good person. There's no difference if you're a Jew, you're not a Jew. There's a Jewish way of chesed. I'll give you an example. You see a young woman crying and very sad. Someone you know, a friend of the family, could be even a cousin. And she's sad about something, and something real happened in her life. And if it was a guy, it was a friend of yours, what would you do? You might go and give him a big hug. And you'll say to her, "Atz chesed, I'm going to give her a big hug. And I'm going to give her some empathy in such a way, because there's something to physical empathy and care." And that's coming from chesed. But there's a Torah way to have chesed. And Torah tells you, for whatever reason, sometimes we understand, sometimes we don't understand, that yes, you're supposed to be by her side and talk to her and care for her, but in a certain particular way. A certain particular way. In a way that's a holier way, in a certain sense. And sometimes it's hard to grasp, and we don't always get it, we don't always understand it. But there's a Torah's chesed. Torah's chesed. You know, in that regard, I remember. Maybe once in a while, there's Ace Lassos Hashem. I'm not going to get into those examples, but I remember I once threatened someone with that. I was at a chasana. It was a chasana, a wonderful couple who I love and I'm close to, amazing people. Great couple, beautiful, beautiful. But the young woman herself, just herself, had a lot of anxiety. She has a lot of anxiety. You know, a lot of us have a lot of anxiety. We understand that. And she was very excited to get married, and there was no issues. But that being said, she had a lot of anxiety. And at the wedding, like, she couldn't, it was time for Kabbal's Panim for, like, the girl, the woman, you guys are usually about Chasen Tish probably, but they dance the Kala in, and everyone gets to go, and she greets all her friends, and they kiss into the air. You know, they won't kiss each other physically, because then it will mess up their makeup, so they just kiss into the air. You know, you can't mess up the makeup. You know, you don't learn these things. And Lemaisa, and the wedding, it needs to, you know, weddings have to go on a certain seder, otherwise they go on forever. So, like, usually, let's say it's a 6 o'clock wedding. So by 6:15, 6:20, the Kala comes out already, because by... you want to try to do the bedekin by around 7 o'clock, you know, and you need some, everything needs its time. And imagine it was 6 o'clock wedding, whatever time it was, and it's already 6:30 and the kala doesn't come out, 6:40 and the kala doesn't come out. I'm running the chasen tish, I was at this wedding, and I'm like, what's going on? And someone tells me the kala still come out. I'm like, wait, that's not going to work, you know, timing-wise, no one's going to want to be here all day. So I go to find the kala, and the kala's in the kala's room with the makeup artist, face, there's other people, and she just had a lot of anxiety. And it was a beautiful marriage. It wasn't that she had doubts or anything, but that's anxiety. It does that to you. And I'm talking to her, trying to be mechazik her, time to go. And I'm like, once you go, you'll see, you'll be great, and you're going to have the most wonderful time. And she knew it. You know it sometimes. She just couldn't bring herself. So eventually I said to her, listen, if you don't go out right now, I'm going to take you by the hand and lead you out of here. And I'll probably never be Masadar Kedushin again in my life then, because who's going to have a rabbi that's going to be walking the kala to her seat? So I'm going to give up. If you want, you're right now, you're going to ruin my whole future, and I'm going to be thrown out, I don't know, Chvesnish, what's going to be, and I'm going to have to go into business because of you, but I'm going to do it because your chasen is waiting, and you guys are beautiful, and you're going to be all besimcha, and I know this is best for you, and just trust me. And that's when she came. So I didn't end up doing it. I don't know what would have happened if she didn't come. But Lemaisa, Emes, back to what we're saying, this is a Torah way of chesed. But I want to explain in a deeper way what the Torah's viewpoint of chesed is, because it's even deeper than that. It's not just in understanding halacha has to work with chesed, and more. It's much more than that. And again, that's why this is the first act of chesed, because this is when Avram had his bris milah, and now it could be based on Torah, and therefore it could be a lesson to us. But there's so much deeper. We pointed out already this incredible idea. Before I get to that, I'll give one more raya to this idea, something very beautiful I saw, how you see that bris milah is so interconnected to Torah. I saw tshuvas from Akiva Eiger. It's a very sad tshuva. Very sad tshuva. I hope nobody should know from such a tshuva. There should be no other practical case of this tshuva ever again in history. But you had once, by Akiva Eiger, a baby that was born. And it was time for the bris milah, and there was no father. I don't know when either the father passed away during pregnancy or during the first 8 days. There's no father. Usually the mitzvah of milah is on the father. The father makes the bracha. He makes the mail, the shliach, and he'll make the bracha of alamilah, and the father will make the bracha of achnisul brisha avimilah. So if there's no father, who makes the bracha of achnisul brisha avimilah? Who has that tzchus? So you want to say, Zaki wants to say Bezdin. That's how one possibility. That's what you would maybe think. It's like a Klal Yisrael mitzvah. And Bezdin takes that. Or maybe the Zaydi, the grandfather. The Kiver Eger explained something so beautiful. He said, basically, as follows. As we just said tonight, the Bris Milah opens up the ability to learn Torah. The Bris Milah is the prerequisite for Torah. And based on the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph teaches us that a Zaydi also has a Chiyuv of Talmud Torah. So since a Zaydi has a grandfather, has a Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, and the Bris Milah is in order to be able to learn Torah, so therefore he gets a Schus of Bris Milah, and not the Bezdin, but the grandfather. So you see again, Bris Milah was opening up the Torah, and that's what the Chesed is now. That's what Tshuva's Rav Akiva Eger says. But what about this very strange type of chesed? Why then? Why was this first chesed that we're supposed to learn from? The first chesed of a Torah de chesed is a chesed where actually nothing was done. There was malachim. There was it. Wow. There were malachim. You're coming in, we get. Oh, I remember you. If you needed to use, you needed to use the house or something. Where do you want to go? Go to the basement. Whatever, okay. So, Lamaisa, what was I going to say? Where were we? Sorry. You never know what goes on here. People just show up. Take care, Baruch Hashem. Anyways, Lamaisa, oh, listen to this. Why was it? Here's the question, perfect time, Morche. Why was it that the first act of Chesed of Avram that we know of is an act where mamish, nothing ultimately was done because of Malachim? Meaning he did, he gave, but there was no reception. There was no makabala. They didn't need to eat. They didn't need to come into his house. They weren't actually hot. There's an sense of being very deep here. The Avnei Nezer in Choshen Mishpat brings down the following. Sometimes, we don't have this really bismanas anymore, but you've learned Gemaras like this perhaps, that there were certain tzedakos that if you lived in a certain city, you had a chiv to give, obligation to give a certain amount of tzedakah to different aniyim, right? Similar to like what we have mois chitim. If you live in a city, you have a chiv to give mois chitim to help people over Pesach. We have other tzedakos. So the Avnei Nezer had a shaila. What if, can Bezdin, let's say a person's not giving that money. You have a chiv, you have an obligation to give that tzedakah, and you didn't give that money. Could Bezdin go be yoyered into your property, into your nechasim, and take it? Bezdin, we have the concept, Bezdin be koifin could force you to do a mitzvah if it's an obligatory mitzvah. Could they go in, you're supposed to give this money, could they go in and take it? And listen to Avnei Nezer says something so beautiful, based on the Maral. Listen to this, Chavi. This is Yisoyit, Yisoyitus, what it is to be a giving, caring person. What Chesed Shel Torah really is. Listen, Chavi. The famous Mishnah in Megillah, it also comes up in Brachos. HaOmer al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha. We know we have a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, right? You're supposed to shoo away the mother if you want to take the eggs or the birds, right? It's a good mitzvah to do. Yirichas Yom, it's chus to have done it in my life. So if you say, al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha, you're saying, God, on this nest of a bird, on this situation, you should reach your mercy. So what do we say? Mishatkin oso, we quiet him. It's not a good thing to say that. Why? It sounds very good, of course. Wouldn't you think it's a merciful act? Isn't that what it's all about? So the Gemara says, why? Mipnesha osa midasol shal kadosh baruch hu rachamim ve'einan elegzeros. You're one and you're thinking, God's telling you to do Shluch Khan as a merciful act, but it's really a gzera, it's really a decree. Pasha pshad, it's a little bit harsh. It's like, God's not merciful, it's really just a gzera, just a decree, just to do. Listen to the way the Maral explains it. The Maral explains, of course Hashem's a Baal Rachamim. And of course Hashem wants Rachmanis for this bird. But Hashem doesn't need you to do that. Hashem doesn't need you. When you have an ani, you have a poor person. You think he really needs you to give him money? You think Hashem can't do that on his own? Harpe shluchim l'makom. When there's someone, lo aleinu, God forbid, somebody's in need, somebody's sick, and therefore you're going to go and you're going to bring them food and you're going to visit them and you're going to daven for them and you're going to do all. Does Hashem really need you to do all that? Meaning he could get that all done without you, right? So you have this bird. Hashem could also, on his own, cause it to fly away.
So he says, Amy does of Rachmim El Gzer, meaning the act of Chesed is a Gzer on you to do it. You know why? Because Hashem, and this is what Avin Ezer says, Hashem wants you to be a giving person. Hashem wants you to be a caring person. He wants you to do Shlach Khan, not to have mercy on, not because he needs mercy for the bird. He wants you, it's a Gzer on you, so you become a Baal Rachmim. So you emulate and embody God. Hashem wants you to give, to become a giver. Not that the person needs it, because he could take care of that. Hashem's everything. Hashem could. He needs you. He wants you to be a Baal Rachmim. He wants you to be a Baal Chesed. He wants you to be a Noisein the same way he is. The whole creation of the world, the Ramchal tells us, was because Hashem's a Noisein and wanted to give to us. So he wants you to emulate and be a giver. There's nothing more special than Chesed Yibana. That's your Soji Besodos. You know the Sefer Bereishis we're in the middle of? You know how many mitzvahs are in Sefer Bereishis? We've spoken about this before. This week's parsha. You know how many mitzvahs are in this week's parsha? Parsha's Vayera. Parsha Vayera, my bar mitzvah parsha. 147 psukim. Wonderful parsha, beautiful. Akedas Yitzchak, great stuff. You know how many mitzvahs are in the parsha? A grand total of? Zero. You know how many mitzvahs are in next week's parsha? A grand total of? Zero. The week after? Zero. Okay, the week after that we have one. And we already had two in Bereishis and Noach. And that's it, the whole Sefer. Three mitzvahs. Bereishis has Pur Revu. Noach has none. Lech Lecha has Bris Mila. Vayishlach has Gid Anasha. Call of the day for Sefer Bereishis. 613 mitzvahs. Grand total of three. Pretty disproportional. Hashem wants to teach us Derech Eretz Kadmal Torah. There's a way just to have midos and care and be there for others. But there's a specific way to care for others. It's not about that they really need it. I need you to be a giver. I need you to be a proactive giving individual. It's not about them, it's about you. Therefore, it's clear. Why is the first act of chesed recorded in the Torah by the very first Jew an act that actually had no results? There was no Kabbalah. Nothing actually happened. The angels didn't need any of this. But you know what? Avram was giving. Avram was giving, and that itself is tremendous because that makes him a giving, caring individual. And that's the type of person you and I all need to be. In the deepest of ways. It's not about what ends up happening. Just be a giving person. It doesn't matter. You could say, even the first act that Avram goes out looking for these angels. Stop and think about that for a minute. Forget about the fact that he had Bris Mila, third day of Bris, he's in pain, he's suffering. He had no reason to have to do that. Meaning, one thing, he could have been in his house, if anyone needed it, they knock on the door, and then he'll be, okay, let them in. You have to go look for it? That's a proactive, that's a Baal Chesed. That's what I'm looking to do for others. I want to do for others. I'm not waiting. Come here for a second. I gotta at least give you a hug. You can't come all the way. Take drinks or something. Go in that room. Take water bottles. They're driving back to Baltimore now. You know, not like dumb. Anyways, okay. But Torah Hashem Tamima. Where were we? Oh, to be a giver means I want to be a Baal Chesed. It's not even about the person that I'm giving to, halavai, of course I care about people and want them to be, but Hashem can take care of that. I'm doing it because I need to be a giver. I need to be a caring person. Daniel Leibowitz, my Talmud Daniel Leibowitz, Rabbi Ari Leibowitz's son, who's a senior in DRS, told me today. His father, 1 year, years ago, was giving him Shabbat Shuvah drasha, and he spoke about someone in the shul who came to him, maybe I think it was Rosh Hashanah time, and said to him, tell me something. Give me a family in the shul that really needs help. I want to do anything they need for Yontif. It wasn't that someone came and asked him. It wasn't that he knew there was. I'm looking to be a giving person. There must be someone out there that needs, just, I want to give. Imagine such a person. Beautiful yid. That's a beautiful yid. Mikam Klei Yisrael. What a beautiful it is. What a schus to be a Jew. You know what happened? He said this in a Shabbat Shuvah drasha. A few years later, another misbal in a shul came over to him and said, Rabbi Leibowitz, you said a few years ago that story, I want to give this year. Is there a family I could support for Yontif this year? We need their help. I want to do everything I could for their Yontif. And I want you to know, when you told it to me then, at that point I wasn't in a good financial place to be able to help in such a way. Now, if Baruch Hashem, finally am, and I've been waiting to be able to do this. I couldn't wait to give. I couldn't wait to be there for others. I couldn't wait to be a giving, caring person. That's why it was. That's what the pre-tzaddik, by the way. Tzaddik explains this. That's why Avram's searching for guests, looking, are we that type of person? Prioritizing others above ourselves. Looking to give. Even when it might hurt. Even when it might be hard. It hurt Avram also. He should have been resting. You think it was easy to go outside in the heat of the day and the heat wave of... No. It's not about me. It's about what I could do for you. I want to just give and give and give and give. This is amazing insight by the Rebbe Rebunim. Show you. In Parshas Re'eh, when talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah, the pasuk says, Nason titen lo. Nason titen lo. Perek has vav pasuk yud. A double edged. Nason is to give, titen you should give lo. Tim, what's a double giving? Why does it say it twice? Give and give. What's pshat? Listen to what the Rebbe Rebunim said. You see a poor person, the poor person is in need. And the poor person is impoverished. So of course you're a Baal Rachman. You're a merciful person. You care about people. And that's beautiful. That's wonderful. To be a Baal Rachman is step one. So you're going to give to him. You see someone right down and out. You're going to give to him. You're going to care for him. So then you give, let's say the person you think if you give him, I don't know, it's Friday and you know he doesn't have a Shabbos, so you give him $200 and you feel that that will get him a long way to be able to Shabbos in the upcoming week. And you feel good. Okay, now he's no longer in that place of Aeneas. And you know, you pulled him out of that. That's Nason. Titelo. Now give again. The first giving was about Rachamim. Now that he's not in that state anymore, that it's all about Rachamim, be a Baal Chesed, a proactive giving, and give him even more. That's the double Lashon of Simcha Bunim says. Be that type of person. Proactively looking to give. Not reactive. Proactive. By the way, that's the words. Beautiful. In next week's parasha. Next week's parasha, very famously, Eliezer goes to find a wife for Yitzchak. And what does he look for? It's amazing. And this is so important. By the way, this is just a side point in Shiduchim for a moment. We'll just never be a time to talk Shiduchim with the Chevra. Bez Hashem's Baruch B'zoichet, the right person, right time, everybody. Man. But people have Shiduchim so warped, and they look for, you know, they think it's a checklist of a business deal, and then they get so stuck up on things that are so unimportant. The two most important things in the world, first of all, is to find the best friend in the world. To marry your best friend. To find someone that you connect to, that you could talk to, that you have a good time with. Someone that you're going to be best friends with for life. The second most important thing, I'm not saying in this order necessarily even, is the biggest Baal Chesed in the world. The most giving, caring person. Obviously, you have to be somewhat hashkafically in line, but you don't have to be mirror images. L'maisa, and that's what we see when Eliezer goes to find a wife for Yitzchak. What does he look for in Rivka? What does he look for in Rivka? Does he look to find out how much emunah she has? Does he look to find out how tznias she is? Is that what he's looking for? He's looking for one thing, her level of kindness. But on what level? Not that she's just a Baal Rachman, but she's a Baal Chesed. Not just that he sees him and I'm going to give you the drink. Could I also give your camel's drink? I want to give, I'm looking to do more and more. And this is how the Halakha of Be'er Maariv Chaim says, Nisiv Shalom Salam Rebbe, next week's parashah, brings down the Be'er Maariv Chaim. I'm going to read you the words. She Chesed v'Rachamim him abeis madregos. Kindness and mercy are two different levels. Rachamim misorim al yidei hamakabel. Mercy is stirred up because of the one accepting it. Meaning you see them in need and you're helping them. That's the first act of tzedakah that we spoke about. Nason. Shekshavroa adam asovel mitzar makovim. You see someone who's full of pain and full of suffering. Harizenogeel lilibo, it hits your heart. Uma oron stirs you up. La'azerlo, to help him. Ulahakel sivlo, make his burden easier. May Allah from him. Zeu madriga yosir ketana mechesed. That's a lower, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, that's awesome. But that's a lower level. Then chesed. What's chesed? Sheb'etzem eino ish chesed el shins or rach malcher. That person is not really ish chesed. He just has mercy on his friend. Rach begeder rachamim. That's only rachamim. Ve'inyon chesed. You know what chesed is? You know what it is to be about chesed? Sheish chesed asher etzem chesed or yime atzmo mechapes tamid lasos chesed. Is a person who in his very essence is always looking to help others proactively. Anywhere he's found, he's always searching to give and give and give. It's elu as a kukim chesed, anyone who needs. But I'm looking to find the people who need. Because they hate of them, to do good for them. And that's what it was. He brings the medrash. That was Avinu. She omeid b'parashas drachim. He was standing at the crossroads. Umitzapel orchem, searching for guests. Not when they come to him, searching.
Shiyuchol ligmor amim chesed to chesed upon them. That's our avoda. That's ahava. That's have the true love for others and want to have proactively. Bez Hashem is baruch. That's his first act of chesed in Torah. And that's seemingly now that we understand, let's put it together, that's Torah de chesed. In other words, Torah de chesed, forget about, yes, it's true what I said before, the halachos that we have to keep in mind when we're doing chesed, but it's more than that. The Torah tells us what it means to be a Torah de chesed is not just I'm a bal rachamim, not just having mercy and caring for others when I see pain. I'm looking to always help. I'm looking to always be. That's how you'll be the best father. That's how you're going to be the best husband. That's how you can be the best person. That's how you can be a tzaddik. You know, it's an amazing thing. I'll say right now, not everybody here is going to end up being a gadol ador in Torah. Halavai, I'm not saying you can't be. That's not a klal chas v'shalom. And if you, but it takes a lot of amelos and a lot of years to be that. You can be, but it's a lot. But there's no reason why everyone here shouldn't be a gadol in chesed. Nobody, there's no reason that everybody here shouldn't be the most giving, caring person, putting others above themselves, and proactively looking to do for others. Being a bal chesed, not just a bal rachamim. A bal rachamim we all are. But to be bal chesed. You know, today was the yard site of Shlomo Karbach. Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today was the yard site of Shlomo. I wanted to share one story. A story I've shared here before. I don't know, again, but it might have been years ago, not with this chevra. I never know what the story is. You know, Baruch Hashem, this shared been going on for a long time. Sure, the story, the first time I read the story was in the book Holy Brother. Has everyone read Holy Brother? Only Zachariah. If you haven't read Holy Brother, like, you have to get it tomorrow. I hold. You could get it. If you want it bad enough, you can get it. I know it's out of print, but you have to. Azus. It's of the most important things I've ever read in my life. It's a big sefer. You know, when it comes to chesed, it's kodesh kedoshim. I'll tell you the story. Before I get to the story, we'll tell the story to introduce the story, how I came. Do you want to hear, Baruch Hashem, everything Hashem sets us up? How did I come to find this book, Holy Brother, years and years ago? I never heard of the book at first. And I was married about a year. So I'm about 21 years old. The story is 22 years ago. Tonight's my Hebrew birthday, so. And, what up?
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Tzadik. And it was the first Shabbos ever that myself and my wife split up for Shabbos. I told you the story once?
I'm sure.
I told you the story. So I had an ufruf of a very close friend. And my wife had a bar mitzvah of a very close family friend. And we felt it was right that we both should be at those. Remember, it was like difficult the first time you ever do that. Okay, that's how it has to be done. So I'm going to this bar mitzvah. It was in Spring Valley next to Muncie. I didn't know the area at all. I'm up in a house with like eight other of my old friends, single guys. Some I was close to still, some from my high school, whatever it was. In some house where people were away. That's where I'm staying with them. Beautiful offer Friday night, Shabbos morning. It was October time, wasn't it? And Shabbos day, after shul, the meal was in the shul, the sudan. Afterwards, I was talking to the chassam for a while, and all the guys went back to the house, and the chassam walked me back to the house and left me by the door and left. And I go into the house, and I'll never forget the scene. I see, it was again October time, and you walked into this house, and you walked like into the living room, and all the guys are sitting around watching a Yankee playoff game. And some of the guys I wasn't surprised at all. Some of the guys I was very shocked by. I felt it was maybe the pressure of others. I don't know what it was. Now, Baruch Hashem, at that point in my life, was way above even like wasn't a chesbin of nisayon like to watch the game. It was my only question at that point was, what do I do? Because I didn't know Spring Valley at all. I had nowhere else to go. I remember it was like drizzling outside. I'm like stuck in this house. Mincha was like in two more hours. Like, what do I do? And so I just quickly just go straight through there and up the steps into the room where I'm sleeping. Now, I wasn't tired. I wasn't in the middle of the day. I wasn't in the mood to take a nap. I lay down in the bed just to lay down and think what am I doing for the next 2 hours. stuck in this room, basically a prisoner, right? And I see on the shelf this book, Holy Brother. I was in some guy's room. I don't know where I was. I don't know what the name of the people, but he had the book, Holy Brother. And I pulled it off the shelf. I never heard of it before. And it says a collection of stories about Rav Shlomo Carbach. And I just start reading. For the next 2 hours, I read like 2/3 of the book. And it changed my life forever. Till this day, I promise you, I find myself doing things in my life only because I read this book. And I say to myself, what would Shlomo would have done in this situation? And things that I would never push myself to do for others, and like above and beyond, only because of that book. It was Mamish Kodesh Kodashim. Everyone here has to read it. Mamish. I'll share one story. I might have shared this story before, because I think about this story all the time, but it's everything we're learning about. It was 1970s, early 1970s, and it was Lag BaOmer in Buffalo, New York. And they were supposed to have a concert. It was supposed to be Moshe Yes. I don't know if you guys heard of the musician Moshe Yes, but you know a few of his songs. He wrote the song, The Ninth Man on the Team. You know, Rebbe used to teach us Torah each and every day, right? He wrote that. And he wrote like some of the Marvelous Midos Machine songs, like I'm a Hippopotamus, you know, whatever. He was a singer. He used to do stuff with A.B. Radenberg. And something happened. He couldn't perform. He like broke his leg or something. And they were stuck. They're like 2 weeks before the concert. So they decided they'll try Rav Shlomo Carbach. He was like the biggest Jewish music star. They said, he's probably booked, but we might as well try. They call him up. Happened to be he was supposed to give a concert that got canceled, and he was available. He says, yeah, I'd love to come. He says, tell him, how much are you paying? They were going to pay, it's in the early 1970s, I don't know where money was holding at that point, but they were going to pay Moshe Yes $700. So he says to him, listen, my brother, my holy brother, you know, I owe 2 months rent on my apartment, and I usually make a few $1,000 for a concert. You know, Shlomo didn't have a penny to his name. Anything he made, he just gave away to poor people in the street. When he died penniless. They had to raise money to bury him. So he said, listen, what can you do for me? They said, listen, we don't care about making money on this. We just want to have a beautiful event for the community. If you come, we'll have so many more people. Any penny we make, any profit will go to you. I'm sure it'll be a couple $1,000s, it'll be good. And Rav Shlomo agrees. And he goes and he gives this incredible concert. His concerts weren't like concerts. Like, you know, we go to a concert and it's like your standard, you know, hour and a half, hour 40 minute show. And then you get the band has to go off and has to pretend like they're not coming and have the encore of 3 songs and then go off again and the encore of 2 songs and call it a night. You know, like it's like everything is very textbook and it's a 2 hour show and you could have good bands, good bands, whatever. Rav Shlomo, nothing was orchestrated. It would just go on and on, hours upon hours, literally until 3 in the morning, singing and teaching Torah. And it was life-altering. The end of the show, like 3 in the morning, and everyone's so coming to thank Rav Shlomo. The president of the shul, the one in charge, comes to Rav Shlomo and thanks him so much. And says, and goes into his pocket, takes out a wad of cash, $2,700. Says, this was all the profit. We had a deal. It's all yours, Rav Shlomo. Rav Shlomo's like, thank you so much. Incredible. I need this for my rent. It's going to be great. A few minutes later, a Yid comes over to him, a Yid that he never met before. And the Yid says to Rav Shlomo, tonight was so incredible. Tonight was so beautiful. Thank you so much. And he says, could you give me a bracha for Shalom Bayis? Can you give me a bracha of Shalom Bayis? And he says, Shalom Bayis? What do you mean such a bracha, my holy brother? What do you mean? He says, well, actually, you know, I was married for a few years and Baruch Hashem had a beautiful relationship with my wife. Everything was amazing. And then about a year ago, you know, we weren't religious. About a year ago, through Chabad and other, we became religious. And because of that, we started keeping Shabbos. Again, it's early 1970s in Buffalo, New York. I lost my job because of Shabbos. And I've been struggling to find a good job since then. And we've been struggling financially tremendously. And it's caused a lot of strain on the Shalom Bayis. Okay, have a bracha of Shalom Bayis. Shlomo looked at him and said, I don't know what my blessing is going to do for you. I'm not sure you need a bracha from me. But I'm going to help you out. And he goes into his pocket. And you know, he doesn't just give him, imagine us, if we would give this man you met 5 minutes earlier, if you give him $10, it's huge. You give him $100, incredible. Who do you give that to? Rav Shlomo went into his pocket, and every penny he was just given, $2,700, that he himself needed desperately, and he had for his own apartment, that he traveled all the way to Buffalo to give a concert for, that was his pay for the night. the entire wad of cash, he hands it to this Jew that he met 5 minutes earlier, says, you probably need this more than me. Hopefully this will help your shalom bayis. That's a bal chesed. That's a giving. Only a giving person who's looking to give, who's looking to do for others, could do such a thing. That's an Avram Avinu. And that has to be all of us. That type of person, looking to give and put others above ourselves. And it's not just maybe we don't have money to do that yet. It's not just money. It's time, it's energy, it's love, it's support. It's all different types of chesed. Be that bal chesed. Be that bal chesed. You know, just to, we just had the chasen walk in. We just came from a chasna. Big mouths up to the Hilvi chasen, the Benji. Benji, this being that bal chesed, being that giving, that's what's going to make you an incredible husband. That's what's going to make you an incredible father. That's Yisoyit Shibisodas. That's what Eliezer looked for in a wife. That's the person we should be, Olim Chesed Yibana. If we do that, we'll be Zoyich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see that giving. We'll be Zoyich to all the Simcha in the world, all the Bracha in the world, all the Refuos, all the Yeshuos, all that the world needs with the Bias Mashiach, with the Gula Shleima, B'mehera B'yam.
Amen.